This recording is a production of Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2015 in Withville, Virginia, March 6th through 7th.
Good morning and welcome to all of you. This is a privilege to be gathered together like this morning. I trust our time together, thinking about how we should receive concerns, can be a blessing to each one of us. If some of you at the far end have a hard time hearing, you may want to move around so you're closer. Without amplification, I don't know how much my voice will carry. I've been battling a cold for a week at least, so with the Lord's help, I'm sure we'll be able to time of discussing those things that are good for us to think about with this topic. As you receive your handouts, you will notice that it's basically a lot of blanks to fill in. That is for your convenience to write down your thoughts and your notes, but also it helps you follow along with some of the main points that I have. All of us here have some kind of responsibility. And I'm curious to find out how many of you are actually the wife of a board member. Would you mind raising your hand? Oh, quite a number of you, okay. I didn't have that privilege, but for just a short time, for about 7 months. That was many years ago. My husband was voted in as a board member in the beginning of the school year, but by April he was ordained as a minister, so that transitioned him. He stepped off the board, but then for a while he was representative of the ministry on the board, but that's been many years ago. Being a minister of the gospel has, of course, given me a responsibility of a minister's wife. And so when I think about the topic of receiving concern, there are many areas that we personally can receive concerns brought to us. And so whether your school board member's wife or not does not mean that this topic is not something that you can have, that you can learn from. So for me personally, it was good to study this and to think about ways that I need to cultivate good attitudes in receiving concerns when they are brought to me. Another question I wonder, how many of you are mother of children that are still in school? That's most of you as well. I still have children in school as well. That in itself gives us opportunity to receive concerns, whether it's from school teachers or anything that concerns our children. Because we live in a fallen world, we can expect to encounter concerns brought to us. Life has plenty of hurts, disappointments, misunderstandings, offenses, and irritations as we relate to each other. As hard as we try to do our best in our given responsibilities, we still have different opinions, ideas, and perceptions. We still make mistakes. We're not perfect, and so we should not be surprised when people bring concerns to us. This being a school board institute, I thought it interesting that this topic was given as a ladies' workshop. In receiving concerns, and especially thinking about school concerns, you may be a key person in relating that concern to the person it involves, your husband as a school board member possibly. So maybe you are serving as a go-between from a teacher with a concern, or maybe from another parent with a concern about a teacher. But be careful and faithful in carrying that concern to the proper authority. Regardless where the concern comes from, I think there's something that I need to learn in thinking about how to receive concerns. I asked several ladies in our church for their input on this topic, and I found it interesting. Several of them said, wow, I think this is a very important topic. It's one that we should hear more about. was wondering why that might be. Could it be that in our day and age when there's so much individualistic thinking, that we really do need more teaching on receiving input from other people and how they can speak into our lives? We need that brotherhood, that accountability with each other. All right, going into your handout, first off, let's think about the word concern. When I first read this topic title, I just think, wow, if I would be giving this talk to a group of youth, I probably would have to change the title. Because the word concern at our house with the young people tends to be a little more like, well, just kind of forget that, you know, it's because everybody has this concern, and they're so concerned about this and concerned about that. So in talking about concerns with my young people, I will be selective and maybe use other terminology to mean the same thing. But I think in our group today, we can understand that the word concern is referring to some kind of problem or some kind of a situation that needs attention. Maybe there's some sin that needs to be addressed. Maybe there's just an attitude that needs to be corrected. But it means something that needs to be addressed or looked at. These concerns could be varied. They could be concerns about me personally, about something I said or did, or maybe something that I didn't do that I should have, or maybe an attitude that comes across. Or it could be about someone that I'm responsible for. And as a parent, we're responsible for our children. And so sometimes concerns are brought to us about something my child did or something they said, and I'm responsible to hear that concern and do something about it. The subject was different in that there was no word that I could go to in the concordance and find a whole list of verses that pertains to how to receive concerns. So, with the Lord's help, we want to look at some of the attitudes that we should carry when concerns are brought to us and how we should go from there. One of the first things we need is a godly perspective of myself, and that's number one. We need to see ourselves as God does. And the first part, I am human. Which means I'm fallible, ignorant sometimes, have blind spots, make poor choices at times, don't always do everything right, make mistakes, don't always have my act together. But these may never be an excuse for not trying to do my best. Even when I try my best, I will sometimes mess up. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falls seven times, but riseth again." And this gives me courage to think that even though we make mistakes and fall, the Lord wants us to get up and try again. He gives us the strength to do that. So I must recognize my humanity and seek to learn from my mistakes. Point B, I am limited in knowledge and understanding. I have my limits, and I need to recognize that. I don't know everything, but I need to be open to learn what I can. I need God's help and His wisdom. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then letter C, I must also recognize God's calling for me. He's given me a responsibility. Even though I am human, He's given me this responsibility, and I need to do well with it. I need to embrace it as His divinely appointed responsibility given to me. God will supply everything I need to carry it out well. He is the source of wisdom, and He is wisdom. All right, then number two, we need a proper perspective of the problem or the concern. It helps to understand the situation better as it is brought to you. And sometimes there are ways to find out the facts, and we need to do our homework so that we are well able to understand what is going on, what the problem is, and what the concern might be. Letter A here is listen with both ears and with my heart. We all have two ears. And how do we listen with our heart? Well, we need to be open and hear what is said verbally as well as what is felt by the other person. Be willing to hear the entire matter. So listen carefully. James 1:19 gives us some good advice. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. A good thing to remember in listening is listen just like I would want the other person to listen if I were the one talking. So listen with both ears and your heart. Take the situation seriously. This person had the courage to come to you with it. Take it seriously and try to see it from their perspective. And then letter B, get the facts straight. This is one that might take some work. Often there are two sides to a story, and especially in receiving concerns from school where it involves children, it seems like children can get their stories slanted their way. So inquire, ask questions, find out what really happened without being too nosy. And I've found that sometimes it's better to ask questions that don't just stop at yes or no, but ask, how was this, or what happened next, or something to get your child talking. And that often reveals a lot more of the actual story. Maybe you will also need to consult others that were brought into the concern or the problem. So get the facts straight. That's one that especially needs to be considered when it is a concern about someone you're responsible for. Consider all angles of the situation and try to see the situation from the other person's perspective. Be willing to hear their side of the story. One thing to remember as well is that our children's hearts are selfish. As much as we love our children and they are just adorable, they are not always adorable. They have little selfish hearts, and don't be surprised if little Johnny cheats or, kicks somebody at school or something like that. Not that you have not tried to teach him that is wrong, but he will act out of his own selfish heart until he learns that that heart needs to be surrendered to Christ. So don't be surprised if your child does end up being the one with a problem, but be willing to work with it, realizing that we ourselves have sinful tendencies as well. And then letter C, think the best of the person. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt. It does much better to think about the other person as really being someone who wants to do what's right, not just be accusing of you or trying to make up some big story. So believe the best of the other person. Be slow to make judgments or conclusions or to determine their motive for bringing a concern. 1 Corinthians 13 is powerful when it talks about what love does. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I don't think this means that it just believes all stories, but it believes the best about people. And then as far as not making quick judgments, Proverbs 29:20 gives good advice. It says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." There's an account in Joshua 22 that so aptly brings out the point of quickly coming to some conclusion and acting upon it. It's the account of when the children of Israel were settled into the land, and those who had settled on the east side of Jordan were returning back to their homeland. As they crossed back into Jordan, crossed the Jordan back into the east where they had settled, they built this altar as a memorial so that their children would remember what happened and that they had crossed over the Jordan and came to this place that God had led them. And I was intrigued by this account because this is what verse 11 says. This is the children of Israel now on the west side when they looked over and saw, they built an altar to the Lord. They're going to start worshiping over there. They're not going to come back here anymore. They're rebelling. We have to go over there. We have to take care of that. Verse 11 says, "And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar over against the land of Canaan." And so when the children of Israel heard about it, they said, "We must go over there. We must war against them. We must stop them before this rebellion carries them off and cuts them off from the rest of us Israelites." And so Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and 10 of the princes of Israel made the trip over across the Jordan and brought this to the people over there and said, "We are very concerned. This rebellion has got to stop." And after the tribes on the east side heard what concern was brought to them, they made their reply. And it seems like they very reverently and calmly answered, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel shall know, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or to offer thereon meat offerings and burnt offerings, or to offer peace offerings. Let the Lord himself require it." And they go on to explain that if this is really our intent, then the Lord should show it to us. But they went on to explain that this altar is an altar of remembrance, so that our children will not say, "We have no part with Israel," but that they will keep going back to the tabernacle to worship. And so when Phinehas and the 10 elders of Israel heard this, their hearts were pleased that the intent of the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan was not to rebel, but it was to make a connection with the 10 tribes on the west side. So it just showed to me how quickly we can jump to conclusions in any kind of situation that we hear about or see. Find out the facts. Let's find out the motives before we make any quick judgments. My husband related a story that happened back in Strip's Draft many years ago that shows so clearly how we can jump to conclusions without knowing all the facts. He said Amos was an older farmer who was driving home from town one day in his old farm pickup, and Brother Adam Byler came up behind him and recognized this was Amos in his pickup. And one thing that really caught him off guard was he noticed that beside Amos on the seat was someone with black hair hanging, and it was definitely not Amos's wife Molly. Adam was shocked, wondering, what is this all about? Because Amos was a man of integrity. So Adam pulls up as close as he can and tries to figure this out. And as he follows more closely, he is very relieved. What he sees beside Amos on the sea happens to be his shaggy farm dog. So make sure that you have the details correct. Proverbs 18:13, he that answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. So let's make sure that we get the facts straight before we jump to conclusions and make quick judgments. All right, then number three, what are some godly attitudes in receiving concerns? I think one of the most important ones is the one I've listed first. It's the Spirit of Christ should be ours. The Spirit of Christ is humble, meek and lowly, and that should be our heart's desire, to pattern after his spirit of meekness. Philippians 2:3 says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Romans 12:3, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And when we do that, we have no need to be defensive, bitter, or angry. I really don't need to defend myself if I'm more concerned about Jesus' reputation than my own reputation. Letter B, I need to recognize my sinful tendencies. You know, I really shouldn't be surprised at anything. Yes, sin should be very shocking, and I should never become accustomed to it. But when I realize how easily I can be deceived, nothing should surprise me. The verse in Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Let's remember our sinful tendencies. Letter C, let's be willing to admit wrong. This takes humility. We need to accept responsibility for everything that is brought to us that is true. And it's been said that in every criticism that comes to us, there is a bit of truth. Whatever that truth is, recognize it and deal with it. We should also be quick to apologize, and this goes along with admitting wrong. Be willing to make corrections or restitution, and be also willing to extend grace if there were any false assumptions or conclusions drawn about a situation. Be willing to forgive those and extend grace. Letter D is be thankful. Now this one comes kind of hard. When someone brings concerns to us about us personally, especially. But we really do need to have a thankful attitude that God is still working on us, showing us areas that need to be changed and cleansed. Appreciate those who are willing to come and point out a problem I might have. After all, it takes courage to care. So we welcome correction because Christ wants me to turn my problems into stepping stones so that I can be more like him. By exposing sin and weakness, pride and selfishness, I can be cleansed so that Christ can be seen more clearly. Less of me, more of thee. That should be our goal. And then letter E, pray much. God is very concerned about whatever concern is brought to you. He's very interested in what's going on. So we need to bring these problems to him, walk in his Spirit's direction. We need to desire a heart of love for God and for others. We also need to let his peace rule in our hearts. And then the last point here in our attitudes, keep open communication and accountability. By that I mean sometimes when there is a habit or something that I'm dealing with in an ongoing way, it is very helpful to have someone to stay in touch with so that I can continue to walk in victory and be held accountable in this certain area. So seek out someone that you can have to be accountable to. Hebrews 10 reminds us that we need to exhort one another daily, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So this kind of exhortation to each other can be very helpful. It can deepen a friendship if it's done in the Spirit of Christ. I was thinking at the end we will open it up if there are some questions that you all would have and could lend to some discussion. So if you have some things you wanted to jot down, we can look at that then. And now the fourth point goes into the other part of the topic, keeping confidence or confidentiality. I found this to be a bit on a different note, in that when someone brings to me a personal concern, most times my personal self-respect will not necessarily have me going around and telling everybody my problem. You know, so keeping confidentiality in that area is not so much something to stress and make sure that we do. Of course, that can be done to our own discretion, however we feel necessary. But keeping confidence would pertain more to situations that we are needing to work with in people in our care, or at times when someone comes to you with a concern about somebody else and needs some advice of how to relate and how to deal with this issue. So in those areas, confidence and confidentiality is very important. Because this person is trusting you with information. Be trustworthy with that. The first one here, be honest and sensitive. Be honest and sensitive. Sometimes it's hard to just be upfront with someone that you realize does really have a struggle that needs to be addressed. So to be honest with sensitivity and kindness is very necessary. Try to give positive directives instead of negative criticism. It can be so much more encouraging, the words you use that are positive rather than negative. Letter B then. Be wise and discerning, because some problems need to be addressed with more people involved. So be wise in knowing whether there needs to be someone else involved in this situation in order for it to come out the way God would have it to be resolved. If there is sin involved and there's needs for restitution, those kind of situations, we need to involve other people. But the only way that we really should be telling anyone else about a situation that we've been told in confidence is with the other person's permission. And I think this should be done carefully. Sometimes it may not be necessarily asking for permission, but it may be saying, you know, this situation is one in which someone else needs to be involved, and I will need to have your permission to do this. rather than saying, can you give me permission? I will need your permission. So if you really can be trustworthy, most times I think people will be willing to give you permission if you need to take it to your husband, to the ministry, to the school board, wherever it needs to go, in order for it to be resolved and for the person to be cleared. But do so with wisdom, very carefully, and open communication. And then the last point here, be trustworthy. And that takes a commitment to live that out day by day by day. Another goal that I think would be good for each of us to have is to let all gossip die with you. Let it stop here. If you hear something, either backtrack it to get the facts, or else just nobody else needs to know about this. I think that's one of the best things that we can do is to be a gossip stopper. Let's not pass it on. I have a small writing here at the end from the book by Val Yoder, How to Experience Purpose in Life. And this talks about sins that are done against me or offenses that have happened to me. And it's such a beautiful picture of how God wants us to use these sins, and turn them into stepping stones that minister. I'll just read through this and then I think we'll open it up for some questions and discussion that y'all might have. He writes, offenses done against me, such as misunderstandings, gossip, slander, hatred, anger, ill will, jealousy, betrayal, disloyalty, lack of love and understanding, disrespect and rejection. These are just a few of the sins committed against me that are meant by Satan to discourage and destroy. God is never the author of sin, but because he gave us a free will, we sin against each other. Sin, the stones in my life that were originally meant to destroy me, are turned into bread when I view the sin as being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His love and forgiveness turns stones of bitterness and anger into bread of forgiveness and joy. When my heart freely partakes of this bread of life, I am released to offer this life-giving nourishment to others. Forgiven offenses take on the aurora of glory and purpose, since they remind me of Christ's love and forgiveness. I experience fulfillment and joy as I am broken as bread to feed the hungry, when I share his mercy and grace with others. Offenses beckon me back to the way of the cross, the pathway of forgiveness and repentance. I bow once again as I remember his agony, his death for me. I'm thankful to share a small part of his pain and death. One question I would like to hear from you about is this whole thing of receiving concerns. When is there the time to clear up misunderstandings that may come? Is there an appropriate time to do that so it doesn't look like I'm just trying to excuse myself and justify myself? What are some of your ideas on that? Because I find that hard to know how to give clear understanding without seeming to want to just clear myself. Or should we always just bear all the blame and let people think what they will, whether it's true or not?
We have struggled with that same issue ourselves as a couple, you know. And when we look at Christ's life, like in the crucifixion, he did not defend himself at all. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking we're not done with our
Yeah, it is tough to know. And we know how Christ was just very falsely accused. Does anyone else have something on that idea? How to clear up misunderstanding without sounding defensive?
We need to be careful that we don't just assume things. We should find out if that truly is the way it is.
Okay, you're thinking especially about like determining the other person's motive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it has some difference to do if it's just us personally or if it involves others. You know, if it's just me personally, I would tend to feel it would be okay to just be okay with it.
Like just to bear the misunderstanding.
Yeah, but if it involves others, if it could be hurtful to others.
Okay. Then clarifying it would help.
I also wonder if it seems better to say it right when you bring the accusation, think about it, and then if you back and clear, if you say it right away, it's like you should have
okay. Whereas the time frame could make a big difference. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
Could it be the attitude we go with that would help the other person to determine, are we defending or are we just clearing up misunderstanding?
I'm sure our attitude has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And I think the time factor is something that would be key here, where we check our attitudes and make sure that this is going to need to be clarified to either, like, to help the other, to help whatever the problem is. Yeah, that's good advice. Would there be any other questions that come to your mind that you would like to have us consider and discuss? About the whole idea of receiving concerns. I knew for myself in just studying this topic that just brought back to my mind how important my attitude is. It's of utmost importance that I keep the Spirit of Christ foremost in my mind. Does anyone else have anything to share? Yes.
I'm wondering too if the spirit in which we're accused, does that influence too if we explain ourselves or not? If you feel the offense and bad attitude coming toward you, maybe an offended person cannot hear. But I think sometimes we might get concerns with the spirit of concern, and maybe clearing it up, explaining ourselves would actually help the brotherhood. they're not really terribly offended. Sometimes you can hear that no matter what I say, they can't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
But if their attitude is different, then maybe we owe them.
Like if you could sense an openness in your communication. Yeah, I'm sure that the Spirit of Christ can show us whether it's good to say something or not. Yeah, I thought this topic was a very interesting one. It's about receiving concern, and we read in different places in the gospel where Jesus teaches us how to take concerns to other people or how to deal with offenses that come to us. But this is about being on the receiving end. Is there anyone else?
Something up, write it out, and then you can reread it, and you're not there face to face with the person and say something that you wish. I mean, they're not hearing your tone of voice per se, and maybe that's just a cop out, but I find if I write it down what I want to say, and sometimes it, you know, I can read it and it's like, whoa, that is me just trying to justify myself. Trash it, pray about it a while, and maybe still, you know, but if I see on paper what I was going to say, it doesn't look very pretty, and it helps to determine what my motive really is. Plus, it's not that face-to-face whatever, and you can later give a note just expressing yourself, but it's not face-to-face or phone conversation that almost brings about that you're... When you have a conversation in person or even a phone conversation, it almost puts them on the spot to give a response back.
Okay.
Whereas in a note, when time has elapsed or whatever, and you can put on paper.
Maybe it's not quite as emotionally charged or something.
That and I've read some of mine that I realized it was more emotionally charged than what I thought it was, so I trashed it, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't the time to give it. Doesn't mean that I never expressed myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But wisdom in taking time to write out and then evaluating whether that.
But I know that that's something that has helped me. That when I see, you know, see on paper what I was going to say, say, well, that's not going to clear the matter. That's just going to make things worse. It's something that I've. Need to do more of actually, but have found that works sometimes. That instead of you can think that in your heart you're wanting to clear them out, but our hearts are deceptive.
They are,
and we can go with the intent that we're wanting to clear the matter, but when we get there or meet the person, it actually is more defensive than what we intended. And then I don't have to clear up those harsh words that can be in the trash. I can get my heart cleansed before they. I don't know.
Giving God time to work in your heart before. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, I'm sure it's different for different ones of us as far as whether it's easier to write out what we feel or what we think, or whether it's actually them to verbalize. And sometimes working the two together can be helpful. Depending what's best for us. Anything else that someone would have to share or could be helpful to us?
You know, if it's just my personal something I don't like, you know, I
Okay, so you're saying we should be discerning whether it's a matter that is sinful or whether it's actually just a preference or opinion. Yeah. Not everybody needs to think the way I do. And God has intended that we have variety, so we need to be gracious to each other in those areas as well. Well, I think we'll close with that. Thank you very much for being here and for sharing. You can consider yourself dismissed.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.